Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others. Today we have a guest. Our guest today is Kevin Martin. I met Kevin at the Be Sober, Quit Drinking, and Enjoy Your Life group on Facebook, and I'll post that link on the description below. And he is over 170 days and more sober, and he wants to tell his story. So welcome, Kevin, to the show. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Is it, how many days are you now?
I'm just at 171, I believe.
Oh, great, great. Yes, I've been, I guess because we're in the same group, whatever you post, and since we've been chatting, Facebook algorithm is awesome, so it shows me your story. So it's nice to do a following since we're chatting here now.
Thank you.
So tell us about who you are and what brings you joy.
Well, I'm Kevin Martin, and really, after about 20 years of drinking, and really the last 10 years being really hard drinking, joy for me is being sober and experiencing life on a daily basis completely natural. I don't really have any big hobbies. I love movies and reading books, but every day is a new experience for me because I've been numb to the world for so long.
Wow. And so watching movies and doing like, you say you don't have much hobbies from where you are?
No. I mean, I work a lot. So when I have free time, I'm usually, you know, I may watch a movie or read a book. I exercise a lot. So between working and exercising, I don't really do much.
Yeah, that makes sense because when you exercise, it takes a big chunk of the day too. And if you're working, then I give you applauses for working out and going to work, because sometimes if I have work in the morning and I come home, I don't really want to exercise. Like,
yeah.
I want to just like relax and so I try to my best to do it in the morning at least. Kind of a thing, but yeah, I feel you. So that's great. I've seen your photos. So when did you start drinking and why?
Okay, when I was in high school, you know, there were people that of course would drink, and there would be, you know, beer at parties or whatever, but I wasn't interested in that, and I didn't actually drink a beer, I don't think, until I was 21, until I was legally old enough to do it. And even then, it wasn't that big a deal to me. I got married when I was 22, and my wife and I had a lot of friends that were in college, and she was in college as well. And we just started drinking on weekends, as I guess people in college do. And I was always the one that would drink, you know, to the point of being drunk, but not just ridiculous drunk. And then I would stop drinking and sober up and be the more responsible of the group. And that was the case for several years. But, you know, you you go through life and your marriage ends up having, I guess, some trials and tribulations and things get rough. And at some point I started drinking heavier, and that led to multiple terrible decisions. And the more I would drink, the worse my life would get. And then when I would sober up, I would feel so bad and so depressed and so angry, I would drink more to feel better. So that cycle continued for about 10 years.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I don't know how that feels like, but I can really in a different kind of drug, which is having sugar or... Yeah, definitely. I went on a sugar detox for... It took like a whole 18 months. But then even then, it's still hard because... other thing that gives you glucose is like bread and basically wheat stuff.
Yeah.
And so even that... Because I'm reading the comments or the post on Facebook and I'm like, oh, interesting correlation, because... I'm making excuses why I should have 4 or 5 or 6 slices of sourdough, which is my favorite, than just keeping it to 2. Yeah. And so it's addiction is very interesting. And yeah. So it's really inspiring to watch your story and other people's stories talking about how many days they're in. Because I knew of AA and all this other stuff, but beforehand, I didn't understand that concept of celebrating. But it's great to celebrate because it is an accomplishment, because being addicted to something is very, it's like something holding on to you, and it's like an invisible force.
Right.
And only you can do it, really. Like, you can get support, but only you have the key. So
right.
That's what makes it really hard, because... other people who are strong cannot do it for you, and you get your strength by doing it.
Right.
So that's really amazing.
Yeah, that's one of the unique things, that really is the unique thing about addiction. There's so many people that I've talked to. You know, when I first decided to stop drinking, I went to AA, and I, you know, joined online groups, and I watched podcasts, and, you know, read as much as I could about getting sober, and that was the one thing that everyone said that successfully quit drinking and found a, you know, a happier way to live. They all said, you know, it doesn't really matter what we say or what we do, it only matters what you do. You're the only one that can do it. Like, there's no one that can do this for you. So that finally clicked with me, and then now I tell people, you know, yeah, I like to exercise, I like to watch movies, I like to read books, you know, I do all this I like to write. I write a lot, and I'm, you know, I like to try to keep busy so that I don't drink. But that's just something that works for me, and it doesn't really matter what I do when it comes to you not drinking. If you want to quit drinking or quit, you know, sugar or cocaine or marijuana or whatever it is you're trying to stop that you're addicted to, you're the only one that's going to be able to do it, and you have to find what helps you not do it.
Yes, and I'm so happy that you found something that you're actually happy about, because a lot of people don't like exercising, and you're doing something very healthy for you that you actually liked as well.
Well, it helps that I've always liked it. I mean, I've always done it in some form, but I'm kind of a dork, man. I'm into, you know, superheroes, and I grew up watching wrestling, so, you know, my big action heroes were Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. So ever since I was little, I've wanted to look like those guys. So that's kind of where that comes from.
Oh yeah, I saw your post about Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
that's great. It's awesome to have inspiration to recite. Yeah, definitely, I love it. That's great. So how did drinking make you feel at the moment when you're drinking? if you can remember.
If it's at first, it was fun, you know. I mean, I would drink when I would watch football, or I would drink when I would watch, you know, a movie, and drink when I would be at the beach or at a pool or something, you know. And it's fun, you know. You relax and, you know, you enjoy yourself a little bit more in the moment. The problem was that I became so addicted to the alcohol that I couldn't stop drinking. So instead of just having three or four beers or, you know, a margarita or two, I would continue to drink until I passed out. And then I would wake up several hours later and feel terrible, so I would drink more so that I felt better. And that just kind of continued over and over and over and over. And I can remember being so drunk that I contemplated suicide multiple times. I was considering maybe if I drank enough, my heart will stop, or, you know, something. The only way I could see breaking the cycle was death.
Mm. Did you know about other people quitting or other people going through that?
I did not. I did not know. I thought that was a total unique situation. Well, for a long time, you know, nobody in my family, except for my wife, because she lives with me, and my daughter, they were the only ones that knew that I drank in excess like that. Nobody else realized that I was drinking that much. And I didn't know that suicidal thoughts and that kind of severe depression came with alcohol addiction. I had no idea. So it was something I thought I was going through on my own. I mean, I went to therapy. I went through years of thinking there's something wrong with me that has nothing to do with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that a big part of alcohol is convincing your brain, is rewiring your brain and making you believe things that simply aren't true. The depression, the suicidal thoughts, the feeling like you're in a loop that you can't break. That's all part of alcoholism. And I had no idea. It took me watching a lot of podcasts and a lot of people who have recovered and moved on from it to learn that. And then I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not crazy. You know, that's an addiction. I have a problem. And that was really helpful to me to quit drinking altogether, because of course, anybody who drinks a lot, like I was drinking, is going to think to themselves, okay, if I can just manage the alcohol, yeah, I've got a problem, but I can manage. You know, I mean, and there's people that go out and have drinks with dinner. You know, that's mm-hmm. okay. And people like me can't do that. We can't have one or two drinks. It's too powerful an addiction. It's going to take us over. We don't have control once we get it in our system. And once I was able to think that way, and I was able to take a week, you know, no drinking, 2 weeks, no drinking. The further I got where I wasn't drinking, the more and more I realized, oh man, you know, this is the way to do it, because I can't stop when I start. So if I just don't start, I'm not relying upon it. And then I started to have great days, you know. I started to have better times at the gym. I started to have more fun in my life. I started to remember my weekends, which I hadn't. That was a new experience. For 10 years, I couldn't even remember what I did over the weekend. And now, all of a sudden, I'm able to remember, and I'm able to enjoy each and every moment. So, I can't stress enough how important it is to realize if you've got that kind of, you know. I know there's people that drink socially and don't have a problem with it, and obviously I'm not talking to those people, but people that can't stop themselves and really have a problem and find themselves needing it and they think they can't quit, you know, I can't stress enough that that's all not true. You know, that's your addiction talking to you. That is the alcohol telling you something that's not true.
Well, something interesting is I feel that, because I can relate to my own addictions, how when people say, oh, I don't have an addiction, but then in every occasion they drink, like at every meal, or if they go somewhere, or let's go to a bar after work, and then they're like, oh, it's not a problem. I feel it's also kind of like the little excuses they make, because it hasn't, because that little problem hasn't become something big. And I feel like sometimes it just like, it's a flat line all your life and doesn't create like a big, what's that thing called, rock bottom thing for you. But for some people, it creates a rock bottom. And then those people look at those people and say, oh, then you have an alcohol issue, without thinking they also do, because they have to do it at every meal and after work.
Right.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that, because I'm like, because I know I used to, when I moved to New York, even I'm from Boston, when I used to hang out with people, it's like, basically it's part of the meal. They depend on it. And if they don't have it, they're like, oh, come on, I have to have just one glass. I mean, right. If you say that, like, what is that? Come on, it is a dependent, at least, if you want to switch the words from...
Yeah, it is. It really is. And it's completely ingrained in our society. You know, uh-huh. It's something that isn't going to go anywhere, and that's something else that I had to kind of accept, was even with me not drinking, I'm going to have to accept that most of the people in my life are going to drink. And when I go places out in public, and even to a restaurant with my family, people are going to be drinking. That's just the way that's going to be. That's something that I've got to deal with. And if you're going to quit drinking, that's something you're going to have to accept. You know, we're not going to all of a sudden not have alcohol tomorrow.
So how do you deal with that? Or if it has happened yet? So do people in your life know that you used to drink and you stop now? And you're trying or something?
Yes, they do. Now, there's not, I haven't publicly come out and said, you know, like on Facebook or anything, that I had a problem and I've stopped.
Oh, yeah, I saw your post about that. You're asking for advice, yeah.
Yeah, and I've pretty much decided not to do that, because I've had people from my company actually reach out and say, hey, don't do that, because the companies, you know, there's employers that will look at that. And I was like, okay.
Right, right.
But I have dealt with it. I've gone to some family get-togethers. I've gone to birthday parties. I've done a vacation with a group of people. And I just made up my mind that I am not going to lose control of myself. So they can drink all they want, and I'm not going to. I like alcohol-free beer. I love Heineken Zero. That's my favorite one. So I'll get some of that, and I'll drink that. And that's good enough for me. It doesn't have alcohol in it, so.
You're very strong to be around people, because I know some people, they're so sensitive, everyone else have to go with their program, and
right.
Which is respectful, definitely. But at the same time, if you're hanging out with those people too often, then it could also be maybe an annoyance for people, because they want to do their stuff, and because you cannot control yourself, they can't do their own things.
Right.
So that's very strong of you. And I understand both parties, like, because, oh, I wanted to ask you, I'll tell you my little story of mine first. So I've made a point for myself too, because I've had experience with friends, because I used to be the good friend who take care of the denied alcohol friend who would puke and either act a fool, fight with people, or get sleepy, and I had to like carry them around and things like that. And they always forget, and there's always a fight at the end saying like, oh, I never did that, how could you do this to me, like making lies. And then it was like really hard to have those friends.
Yeah.
So when I moved to New York, I made a rule for myself that if I'm going to hang out with someone, if they want to have a second drink, I don't want to hang out anymore. So it was really hard. So I basically couldn't make friends.
Right, right.
And people could not understand me. People thought I was judging them.
Right.
And life is interesting nowadays. It's like people rather bark at you instead of asking you a question, why did you why do you have this assessment kind of a thing? Instead of like trying to understand you, they shut right. you down and make it personal. And it's totally not personal to them at all. And so I've decided, well, that's part of life. And that's, I'm in that decision. And I've noticed whenever I basically go like, okay, let me go around, let me go with their program. And then it goes, often goes back to the same thing where if I'm hanging out with someone, because I don't know what kind of drunk they are, they either become that person where they fight with random people and then I have to be in the middle of it, like, and there's a huge fight and I'm like, I don't want to fight with people. I don't know who has guns and knives. Right. And it's not even my issue and I'm like, what the hell? Or the type who gets so drunk and they like literally shit themselves, puke, and then I have to get a cab and I have to like be the nice friend and basically they're a baby and I have to like diaper them. And then right. the next day, they don't even remember. And I feel like, what the hell was that? So it was, like, really hard to yeah. to agree with people.
Yeah, and I've experienced some of that too. I mean, there's a lot of people in my, you know, I don't have a huge circle of people that I would hang out with. I had a pretty small circle, and most of those people I can still hang out with, and they may have a drink or two, but they don't drink in excess. And you know, I'm at an age, I'm 41 now, so I'm at an age where most of my people are, you know, we're all married and have kids, and you know, we have a lot of stuff going on in our lives, so there's not a lot of time for normal people to just get hammered and destroy themselves. But I know when I was really in the drinking, I was always the one that was puking and passing out and vomiting and making a fool of myself, and my people had to take care of me. So you know, that I'm at a point now where the people that I was so close to, there's very few of them that I don't hang out with anymore or talk to anymore, because that's their life and I don't fit it. So they don't, you know, we don't have anything in common anymore. Mm-hmm. But that's a rare exception. I think most people, if they really care about you, you know, if they're really close to you, then they're going to understand. Mm-hmm. And people that don't understand, people that maybe aren't close to you, that you work with, or someone you're, you know, acquaintance with, if they're going to, you know, like you say, if they're going to think you're judging or not because you don't want to have a drink, then you probably don't need to be around those people anyway. I mean, that's my take on it. You know, I mean, because I completely agree with you. There's way too much personal attacks, and, you know, people really don't understand addiction unless they've been addicted to something.
Uh-huh.
And that's just how, there's no way to explain it. There's no way to make them understand it. We can tell them all day long, well, I couldn't stop. And they will always respond. If they don't understand addiction, they will always respond with, well, you just got to manage yourself. You know, you just got to control yourself. You know, you just got to be more responsible. And there's nothing I can say to that, you know, because they don't understand.
Yeah, that's so true. I used to be the person you just described. And I understand that having sugar addiction for some people could be minimal or not equal, but it's not like a equal thing. It's just basically addiction and different types. And not until that I had to really accept that I was addicted to sugar and I was having excess, like I would eat like a whole Oreo thing in one setting, or yeah. Reese's Pieces, and I was just like, this is, and I feel gross, but I want more. And I was just like, nothing good in excess, even good things in excess is not good. And
right.
Yeah. And so that's when I was like, oh, okay. And I understood, even with depression, I didn't experience depression until last year, 2020. And when I would hear people say they're depressed, and I would say what you mentioned about what people say, I wouldn't tell people that unless they're my friends, because I feel like if it's, you're not close to me, it's not my business to tell you how to manage something. But if you're a friend and then you want to talk about it, and then people would call me insensitive, but I was always confused and I'm like, I'm trying to help. I don't understand how I'm insensitive. But I realized that through experience that some people would like to vent and wants to just be seen and heard and didn't want me to be telling them things. And I'm grateful for that experience. And sometimes it sucks, like you have to experience something and then maybe break relationships, unfortunately, to get it. And I had to accept that in life as well, because we're thrown into this basket of life and we have to figure it out. And like, I'm sorry this happened. Like, I don't know. Like, what could I have? It's like, you don't know better until you experience it. And then once you know, you can do better. So right. It's like, it sucks that way. So do you, since you people don't know your story as much, because I was gonna, based on my story, people don't want to hang out with me anymore. I've noticed something interesting. When new people want to hang out and I tell them I don't drink, I have to tell them, I had to let them say to themselves, like thinking I went to AA. If they think I went to AA, they respect that. And then everyone's like pussyfooted around me. But if I tell them I'm just straight edge because I want to, then they feel like it's personal that I'm judging them, because they usually say, don't judge me. And I'm like, I don't care. It's your life. And then they feel like so weird around me. So,
right.
Yeah. So it's very interesting psychology about that. But yeah, unless someone is a friend, I don't really talk to them about their drinking stuff because it's not my issue. So how did drinking affect your family life, if it did?
Oh yeah, it almost tore it apart. Because my wife, now she drinks and she still will have a drink, but she doesn't do it around me. So I work at night, and if I'm working on a Friday night and she is out with one of her friends or something, then she may have a few drinks with dinner, and that's perfectly fine. Because she can handle it. She doesn't drink in excess, but she respects me enough to not drink around me. But when I was in the serious drinking stage, I spent my entire weekend on my couch. I was never the guy that went out to bars and went crazy. Now, I would sometimes, but for the most part, all my drinking was done in my home. And I would just buy tons of beer or whiskey or wine, whatever I wanted to drink. It didn't really matter as long as it had alcohol in it. And I would spend the entire weekend, 2-3 days. Sometimes I would call in to work on Monday because I was still drunk or hungover. And all I would do was drink. I'm watching movies, I'm listening to music, but really I'm just drunk. And my wife and daughter would want to go to dinner. They would want to go to, maybe a sporting event or a movie, or they would want to do something with me, and I couldn't do it because my priority was, I got to drink this wine. I just bought 2 bottles of red wine. I'm not going, I'm not leaving the couch. I've got to drink this wine. Mm-hmm. So it was a mess. It was terrible because they would try to talk to me, and I couldn't talk to them, and if they told me, during the week when I was working and I wasn't drinking as, during the week I wouldn't hardly drink as much. So, because I had to work. And they would try to tell me, Devin, you don't understand. You're a different person and we're not able to enjoy being around you. We don't even want to be at home with you. And I'm like, well, that's just me. That's who I am. I'm not hurting anything. I'm sitting in my own home. I could be out driving or doing all kind of stuff, but I'm staying at home, minding my own business, enjoying my beer. So they couldn't get through to me. And it took years for me to finally realize that that was a different person when I was drinking. And I care about them and I love them. And I was so blinded by the addiction to the alcohol that I thought they were attacking me. I thought they were trying to take the one joy in my life away from me. And God, it was a terrible place to be. It was a terrible way to think. And it only took not drinking for a period of time and letting all the toxins get out of my body and letting my way of thinking changed before I realized just how much I had put them through and just how miserable they were to be around me.
Right. Yeah, because I can see, actually, I thought about that before, and I've only practiced it only one time in my life last year. Because I had, when I had friends who would do those things, because I was in part of their life, and I would tell them, and they would feel exactly like you said, and that convo you had with your family. And then it was really hard. And then when you leave and they say, well, everyone's leaving me, so that's why I'm drinking. And then like that guilt, you leave them. But you tried so much, your hardest, but then they feel like you didn't try at all. And then everyone's end up leaving you, etc. And then there was this person who's drinking, and I told him, I was just like, I'm not, you already know what's happening, and I'm not going to tell you anything different with that, because it's your life. Because I feel, and you tell me your opinion about that, I feel that we're born alone, and we came to this world to experience our own experiences and make our own choices. And people that are in our lives have the opportunity to do the same thing. So therefore, I feel like even if most things are destructive to oneself, we know it. For most people, I cannot speak to like 8 billion, but I feel like a lot of people that I've interact with, they know it, but there's something there that's like keeping them or whatever it is. So I feel like as another individual who came to this life to experience my own, I have no right to tell you how to live it or even leave you because something's happening. But the guy, one, because he was my roommate when that was happening, because I didn't want to like diaper anybody either anymore. So I told him, I was just like, when you make your choices, your actions is your karma. So you have to take care of yourself. And I'm still a friend. I'm still going to be there. But at the same time, you're going to clean up your own thing, because that's not my responsibility. So we talked about that while he's sober. So he understands where my boundaries is, and I can still be his friends without telling him to stop drinking, because he knows what's going on. So how do you feel? And he doesn't live here anymore, but I'm happy about that experience where I could at one point of my life to not tell people what they're doing, or even being codependent to fix it for them the day later. And I just let them be and just live their life without my opinion. Like, what do you think?
I mean, that's just how I approach it. Like, exactly what you're saying. I mean, I don't tell anybody, you know, whether it's alcohol, you know, I've got some good friends that partake in edibles, you know, marijuana, and you know, maybe brownie or candy form, and you know, that's their thing. That's how they like to deal with, you know, the stress of daily life. And I don't tell anybody, you know, you shouldn't do this, or this is a problem, or you know, you come to me and you ask me if what you're doing is a problem, you know, then we'll talk about it and I'll give you my opinion. But other than that, I try to stay away from telling anyone anything, even about alcohol. You know, I mean, that's why I joined the groups like the group that we met on, you know, because it helps me to be there for people, because there are so many people that know they have a problem and that want to get help, but they don't really know how to go about it, and they're afraid, and they don't think they can do it. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that I'll talk to about it. But as far as just someone in my life, or someone I work with, or someone, you know, even someone close to me, if they don't feel there's an issue enough for them to talk to me about it, then you know, I'm just gonna let it be, because, like you said, we all come into this world alone. We've all got to make our own choices. We've all got to have our own experiences. We've all got to mold our lives ourselves. And so many people seem to be under the impression that outside forces dictate your life, but that's not true. You know, you have the power to dictate your own life. And You know, that's just kind of the approach I take.
Yeah, I love what you say, and I totally believe in it. But when I notice when I see it online, people get very offended. They're like, how can you say outside forces doesn't have influence? Blah, blah, blah. Because some people would blame everything outside of them, and they're saying people are just doing this to them. And because I know some people, they often complain about many things in their life, and I'm sitting here perplexed. I'm like, how can one person have so much issues every day in their lives? Like, are you so unlucky, or are you somehow putting yourself in a situation that you're blind to it? And when they're telling me stories, and I'm like, okay, you could have been out of that situation. I don't tell them because it's not my business. But I'm like, you could have been out of that situation, and you put yourself into it, and you marinated yourself into it, and now you're complaining. Like, do you not see how you're part of the problem?
Right. And they don't. They don't. And, you know, and when I say outside forces, you know, then they can influence your life. I mean, I'm not taking that away at all. But there's a difference in things influencing your life and dictating your life.
Uh-huh.
Nothing can dictate your life, at least not in America. I mean, not in the way we live in our society.
Yeah.
You can dictate your life. You know, now you can be influenced by tons of things. Mm-hmm. They can influence you negatively, or they can influence you positively. It's how you deal with them. It's how you accept them. It's how you grow from them that dictates your life. So if you're trapped in this world of, you know, constant mistreatment and, you know, everything's going wrong for you, and you just seem to have bad luck every single day, well, you've got to be able to pull yourself out of that. You've got to take whatever's going on, and you've got to flip it. And I don't know how to tell other people to do that. I guess maybe we each have to figure that out ourselves, and maybe some people, either they're not willing or they're not capable. I don't know. And that's the problem that we're always going to have, because even with addiction or just living your life on a daily basis, if you don't take personal responsibility and you don't take control of your situation, there's nobody else that can do it for you. So that's how we end up with so many people miserable every day.
Yes, that's a key word, responsibility. And I've noticed people who are in that hole, and it sucks for them, and hopefully eventually they'll get out of it. They don't like that. That word is a bad word.
It is a bad word.
Yeah, because they like, well, my dad did this to me, or this person looked at me that way, and things like that. And it sucks based on the stories they tell me. I don't feel pity or sad for people anymore, because I feel like having that is kind of like an ego thing. So I'm like, you know, it's life. I tend to say, life is the way it is, and so therefore, if you want a certain things, you have that power to kind of like stir it this way or that way. Because if you grew up in somewhere that has war, like Middle East, it's like you didn't do any of that stuff, but at the same time, you still gotta live and do your best to make it what it is for you.
Right.
Speaking of that, I don't know if you saw that movie. It's a great movie called Life is Beautiful. And this guy who grew up in the Holocaust, and how he, when they say, basically how you respond to life is what it is. And if you haven't seen that movie, it's a great inspirational movie. And there's another book. I think his name is Jeff Frankl. I forgot the name of the book. But another book in Nazi Germany, this guy, he survived, and how the way he survived is because what he made his experience, it's hard to say, like, yeah, something like that. So it's a taboo kind of topic, because a lot of people are so stuck on where I'm at in my experience is I respond to it and I'm the victim and this is how it is, and they're like so addicted to that too, when if they can know that they are, like, I saw that meme that says, nothing is impossible because I am possible. It is possible, and you're capable. And I feel like the first step is you have to know. Once you know, you cannot unknow. So once you know there's a problem, and then you're going to start having guilt and shame and judgment for yourself, those temporary events in your head, they are good as a motivation to kick your ass up to do something. But they are bad because they can give you a depression if you are addicted to them to keep them too.
Right.
Because having shame for too long is not good, but temporarily it's good to be like, okay, I'm shameful about this. How can I change it? Right. That's the responsibility part.
Yeah, and that is, man, I hated to hear that. You know, I couldn't stand to hear that for so long. I didn't want to believe, and I didn't believe that I was, you know, responsible for where I was. You know, it was not me. it was, you know, my marriage is falling apart. You know, my work is really stressful. You know, this is just, it's hard. I don't make enough money to be able to do this, or, you know, I can't send my daughter to college in a few years when she graduates. And you know, this is just, it's so unfair. It's not, you know, I should be doing better. And all that stuff, you know, weighed on me for a long time. And my escape was, well, I'll just drink. So I at least feel better temporarily.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to believe that I could control all that, but I could. And I did, and I do now. So, you know, it's crazy how I think we don't, and you said, you know, I think you can become addicted to being depressed and being a victim. I think you can become addicted to the feeling of hopelessness.
Yes, and I did for 10 months in my depression.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a real thing, and especially with 2020 and with COVID and, you know, a lot of lockdowns and, you know, mandates, and there was a real feeling of hopelessness and powerlessness that kind of gripped the world. And I think it affected people mentally in a really, really negative way. And there's just, I don't know, man, there's a lot of people that don't realize how much control they have of their own situation. And it's unfortunate, you know. I don't really know how to tell people, hey, you can pull yourself out of this, because when they're so ingrained in this depression and addiction and victimhood, it's hard to get people to realize, you know, yeah, okay, maybe you're in a place where you can't go out in public, or maybe you're in a place where you've got to work from home. Well, that doesn't mean your life has to be miserable. That doesn't mean you have to be, you know, depressed. That doesn't mean you have to be stuck on whatever you're addicted to, you know? So it's tough. It's tough. Life is difficult. Life is hard, you know?
It is, yes. Especially, and I saw a meme, because I used, long time ago, I used to blame my parents and be very bitter. Because I'm like, how you put me in this world and I have no manual and da da da. And I read a meme that says, remember where you are now at 40? Your parents were there too and you were judging them.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that's some raw meme right there. Because you're 40 and your life is chaotic, and then you were judging your parents when they were 40. It's like, it's we're all trying to figure it out.
Yeah, we are. There's really, you know, it's the ultimate learn as you go, you know? I mean, I don't think there's a right. Well, I don't want to say right, because that's probably the wrong way to look at it, but I don't think there's one path through life, you know? I mean, we're all going to zigzag through this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got to learn from our experiences. We've got to learn and we've got to grow. And as long as we're doing that, you know, hopefully we're moving forward.
Yeah, that's why I told my roommate, who I feel like he had I know, and he knew it too, he had a problem. I never told him that, but when we were talking, and he told me he appreciated that, because he never heard that before. But before I told him, I was just like, I don't want to be a bad friend telling you this, but I told them exactly what you said. Like, you are the master of your life, and whatever you're doing that's destroying it temporarily, and even if it ends up in being death or whatever it is, I feel like no one has the, even if it's good for you, no one can do it for you, and no one has the right to tell you how to live, because you came here for an experience.
Right.
And that sounds very, like, taboo or unkosher to what society will tell people. But I had to really be, I feel like I needed to do something different than I used to do for my friends. Because I used to be like, do this. And how could you? Now I wanted to support someone, not support them in their stuff they're doing. Because I didn't tell them, hey, do it. It feels whatever. But I was just like, your experience. And I validate you. And I see you. And I'm not judging you. And because you already know you have an issue. You don't need someone else to beat down your head either.
Right.
So I wanted to do something different. So what kind of help have you sought out and receive, if any?
Well, the most, I went to AA when I decided to stop drinking. The first weekend that I was not going to drink, I found, you know, where my local AA was going to meet, and I went to it, and I was terrified. I did not know what to expect, but it was a great group of people, and, you know, it took, I think the meeting lasted an hour, and I don't know if you've ever been to an AA meeting, but you don't have to speak if you don't want to. You know, you can just sit back and listen. And it was enlightening to me, because I go in there with all these thoughts in my head and all these, you know, fears, and these people probably aren't going to understand, because my life is my life. You know, nobody's lived my life but me, and they're not going to be able to relate. So I don't even really know what I'm doing. And I go in there and I listen to these people talk and tell their stories. And some of them are a lot like mine. Some of them are way, way, way worse. And I was like, oh, wow.
Yep.
You know, that was incredibly enlightening to me, because I realized that there are so many people right here around you in the same or very similar circumstances as you, dealing with a lot of the same issues. And that helped me a lot, because it took the lonely aspect away. It took the, you know, me against the world aspect away, and made me realize there's a lot of people that I can share this with, that I can talk about this with. And there's people in there that have been free from their addiction for 20, 30, 40 years. And they were able to tell me things that they do, you know, things that they've experienced, which helped me a lot. And after that, I joined a bunch of online groups. I talked to more people. There's addiction counselors and stuff that offer podcasts and, you know, all kinds. Because a lot of this was going on during COVID. So there was not a lot of, you know, going out to places. So I would, most of the stuff that I looked for was online. And thankfully, we live in an age where we can do that. So YouTube has been very, very beneficial to me.
Yeah, YouTube is amazing.
I've been able to look up, you know, so many different things and listen to so many podcasts like yours. You know, things like this that we're doing now is just extremely beneficial to me. So I do as much of that as I possibly can. Like I said, I work a lot, and I don't have just a ton of free time. So it's really, really good for me to reach out online, and whether it's a Facebook group or a message board or a podcast or anything I can do that way is really, really, really good. And what we're doing now is really, really good. You know, this is kind of stuff that really benefits me.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so glad about that. I actually started it as a solo thing to heal myself. And then when people were watching, they're like, hey, you should include others, because we have the same story, and is glad to know you have a story. And yeah, so I was just like, yeah, you know what? That's true. Let me. And it's been great. I've reconnected with old friends from the nightclubs and I've met new people like you. And it's great to hear people's stories. And it's helping me a lot mentally and emotionally as well. And human connection is really important, and we are so scared about connecting. I've noticed, same with the drinking or anything else, we tend to connect easier when we are, for some reason, we are at a low point or